Well, today is the last day that we're going to be talking about Joseph. We began this series back in February. And the reason I wanted you to go to Moses is because we're going to begin Moses next week. But Joseph is a model of someone who went through a lot of pain and suffering, and yet we see that his faith in God never wavered. But you know, the script could have been written a little bit different if Joseph had lived with bitterness and with the desire in his heart to gain revenge for all the pain and all the suffering that he went through. I would hope that if I were ever in a position that Joseph was in, that I would react the same way that he did. But so often we react a lot differently, don't we? But this morning, we're going to pretend for a few moments that Joseph did not react the way he did in the scriptures after being treated unjustly. The script could have been written like this, and I have to get a little bit nasty here. You ruined my life. You always hated me. How could you have been so cruel as to sell me as a slave to some foreigners and have me locked up in a cage like an animal? My life was filled with pain. And then you had the gall to tell my dear father that I was dead. Do you not have a heart at all? Do you not consider how much my father loved me and how your actions would have hurt his heart? You are responsible for taking years away from my father's life, and you robbed him of happiness and peace. And Joseph is talking to his brothers here, by the way. You probably thought that I'd be cleaning pig pens or something else by now. Well, I had a great position in Potiphar's house until his wife set me up and accused me of rape. Could have cost me my life, but I was thrown into a prison. More pain and suffering. A lot of good it did me to be a great employee. One minute I'm on the top, and the next minute I'm down on the bottom. But none of this would have happened if you, dear brothers, hadn't have sold me in the first place. If you would have believed my dreams and understood that I was going to be in a place of power and I wouldn't have had to suffer at all. Am I bitter? You bet I'm bitter. It was like I was a forgotten man in that prison. Oh, I asked God many times why all of this was happening. Oh, God, why are you allowing this pain and suffering in my life? If you're an all-powerful, all-loving God, why don't you put a stop to it and stop this suffering? I started to question if God even existed. It wasn't fair. Everyone took advantage of me in that prison. They only liked me because I could interpret dreams. They were sure different from you, dear brothers. I wish that cupbearer had have been hung alongside of the baker. Oh, that cupbearer. He made great promises to me. After he got released, don't worry, Joseph. I'll put in a good word for you and you'll be out of this hole in no time. So I waited expectantly, thinking that the day of my release is soon at hand. But how quickly we forget our friends. But I didn't forget all of the pain and all of the suffering that I went through because of you 10 scoundrels before me. Do you know what it feels like to be forgotten? I have a good reason to hold a grudge. Well, after a stint in prison, I got a break, and Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted. So his cupbearer finally remembered my name and suggested that I be the one who go and interpret the dreams because his magicians sure couldn't do it. After Pharaoh told me his dreams, I knew exactly what was going to happen. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of fruitful crops, and then 7 years of famine, which is why you, my dear brothers, came to Egypt, wasn't it? You needed food, and I have plenty of it. Well, that little tidbit of information that I gave Pharaoh got me to where I am today. At least he paid attention to my interpretation of dreams, which is more than I can say for you. I hate you for what you did to me, for what you put my father through, and now it's payback time. Guards, take them away. We'll hang them tomorrow and send the young lad back to my father. Well, thankfully, that isn't the way it played out. And that isn't the way that Joseph reacted. He accepted all that had happened to him as being from the hand of, yes, an all-powerful, an all-loving, and sovereign God. And he believed that God was in control of his life at all times. God was in control when he shared his dreams with his brothers. God was in control when he was sold into slavery. God was in control when he was falsely accused of rape. God was in control when he was put into the prison, and God knew that Pharaoh would be calling upon him to interpret his dreams. God was in control when Joseph was promoted to prime minister in Egypt, the second in command in the whole land. The story of Joseph reminds us, yes, of a sovereign God. But as Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Today, some of you are suffering from pain, and you feel that the card that you have been dealt in life is not fair. And that isn't to say that you aren't hurting deeply, but you're bitter and you're resentful and you want revenge on someone who did you wrong. Maybe you've been betrayed, you've been slandered, you've been forgotten, you've been wrongly accused, and you're blaming someone, maybe even God, for what is happening to you today. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Genesis chapter 45. We're going to read, first of all, just the first four verses of Genesis chapter 45. And the scene opens here after Joseph has moved on from age 17 up to age 39. It's been 22 years since he saw his brothers and he was sold into slavery. And the scene is opening here with Joseph's brothers, his 10 brothers, who sold him into slavery, standing before him. And all the royal entourage was in the room at the same time. So here we go. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." You can sense the tenderness in his voice there. So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery." Now, just before this passage, Judah, the brother of Joseph, who came up really with the idea of selling him to that band of traders that walked by, was making an appeal to him on behalf of Benjamin. And you remember that Benjamin was the one who who had Joseph's cup stuffed in his bag and was accused of stealing it. In fact, his brothers, when they were searched, said the one who has it should die. So imagine how distraught they were when the cup was found in Benjamin's bag. And Judah pleaded with Joseph to let Benjamin go back with the other brothers, because he knew it would break their father's heart if Benjamin was held in Egypt. In fact, Judah offered his own life in exchange for Benjamin's. That is when Joseph lost it. He sent everyone out of the room except his brothers, and then he wept so loud that the entire house of Pharaoh could hear it. What do you think was going on in the brothers' heads about that moment? They're probably standing there looking at each other in wonderment, wondering what in the world is happening here. But then Joseph drops the bomb and says, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" Joseph, a person whom they thought had completely disappeared, as it were, off of the face of the earth. And the Bible says that they were speechless and they were dismayed. The Hebrew word that is used here for dismayed is shocked, terrified, to the very point of trembling, blown away, unable to comprehend what was just said to them. Did we hear this right? Joseph, our brother. They were probably as white as sheets, and they probably looked like a deer caught in the headlights. They're standing there, speechless, with their mouths hanging open. But then Joseph spoke grace into their lives at that moment by saying, "Please come near to me." Wow. After all he went through, "Please come near to me." Lloyd Stille wrote this. He said, "The Hebrew word that Joseph uses for coming near means more than just a closer proximity. The word sometimes used for coming near, for the purpose of embracing and kissing someone." And that's what Joseph did. He invited his brothers to come into a new relationship and step closer to him. And when they got huddled together around Joseph, he reminded them of one thing. "I am Joseph, your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery, into Egypt." Their sin was disclosed at that very moment. Their hearts were probably beating fast. They would have been flooded with guilt and with shame. They probably wondered, "When are we going to die?" Was Joseph simply giving them the kiss of death? They couldn't deny their guilt. Joseph was living proof that they stood condemned before him. God had brought justice to light. And you know, God always sets the record straight, doesn't he? No one gets away with sins committed. The book of Hebrews says this in chapter 4, verse 13. "There is no creature hidden from his sight." Do you know that every action, every thought we think, God knows about it? The verse goes on, "But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." All of us, sooner or later, going to give an account to our God. This verse also means, of course, that we don't have to worry about getting even with anyone who brings wrong into our lives. The Lord reminds us in Romans chapter 1 or chapter 12, verse 19, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. We have a hard time thinking about that, though, when we're going through difficulties. But today, if you are living with bitterness and the idea of getting revenge on someone for hurting you, I know it's easy for me to say this, but you need to turn the whole mess over to God, over to the Lord. God will not let your pain go unnoticed. He will look after the wrong done to you. This scene is a wonderful picture as well of how God also embraces a sinner through Jesus Christ. Joseph pulled his guilty brothers close to him and embraced them and kissed them. And he was setting them free at that moment, wasn't he, from the guilt and shame that they were no doubt feeling in their hearts. No matter what we are guilty of, we can be set free from that guilt and from that shame. When we confess our sin to the Lord, He forgives us. And He draws us near like Joseph did with his brothers and embraces us, as it were, as His children, and kisses us. And we can call Him our Father from that point on. The promise is that when we draw near to God, He will draw near to each one of us. God wants to embrace you today. He wants to kiss you. He wants to have a renewed relationship with you this morning, just like Joseph desired to have with his brothers. If you are a Christian, and you are living this morning with unconfessed sin in your life, the Lord wants you to confess that sin, and He wants to draw you to Himself and kiss you and let you know that when you confess your sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But maybe you have never ever in your life confessed your sin before God. Maybe you aren't saved today. Maybe you think that you're a Christian because you come to church and you say your prayers every once in a while. You're religious. But maybe you think that because you're good, you have an in with God. But the Bible says something different. The Bible says there is none good, not even one. So that includes everyone in this room. None of us are good. The Bible also says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there's a solution. God wants to embrace you. God wants to draw you into Himself. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you will be what? Saved. Are you saved today? Do you have the joy in your heart of knowing what it means to be saved? I want you to look now with me at some more verses from chapter 45. And then we're going to bounce over to some in chapter 50. As you know, I was supposed to preach on chapters 45 and 50 today, but that's quite large, so we're only going to take a few chunks here. So we're going to read from verse 5. But now do not therefore, this is Joseph talking to his brothers again, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. So we're going to go to chapter 50 now, and verses 15 through to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us." And this is also after the point of Jacob's death. "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when he spoke to them. Then his brothers also went and fell before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' And Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." The problem of evil and suffering in the face of an all-powerful, all-loving, sovereign God. This is undoubtedly one of the greatest intellectual hurdles for both the non-Christian and the Christian to encounter. I'm certain as a Christian that you have wondered why God allows certain things to happen in your life and why he allows them to continue. Hopefully you realize that God is not overlooking what is happening. He's in control. The person who isn't a Christian will say, well, if there is an all-powerful, all-loving, sovereign God, then evil cannot exist. He would not allow it. Likewise, if evil does exist, they would say that there is no God. God and evil, they are saying, cannot coexist together. But how do we deal with that? I'm going to say simply that God and evil can and do coexist, and that God uses evil for a greater good. The atheist would say God does not exist because evil exists. And that very statement itself, according to William Lane Craig, is evidence that God, in fact, does exist. And here's how he puts it. If God does not exist, then moral values do not exist. So we can't have moral values. We can't have any benchmark of determining what is right and what is wrong if God does not exist, because he's the one who gives the objective moral values. But what we know is evil exists. How do we know evil exists? We know it by experience, yes. But we know it too because we have some objective moral standards to go by, don't we? So then, we have to say that we have moral values, objective moral values. Now, what is the conclusion if we have moral objective values in this world? God exists. So by their own statement that evil exists, they're also saying that God exists. Joseph understood this clearly. And that is why he didn't lose faith in the face of evil. And he experienced all this stuff that he experienced in his life. He knew that his God was in control, and he knew that God was going to use the evil that was happening to him for good. At least he was pretty sure of it. We're all pretty sure of it at times. I want you to notice in the passages that, I'm going to back up here for a second to these verses again. I want you to notice in this passage how many times the word God is used, and how often Joseph referred to God in these verses. He was not ignorant of the fact that his suffering and pain were the result of evil motives. He also knew that God was going to use that evil for good. And we need to remember this. Evil is present all around us, but so is an all-powerful, all-loving, and sovereign God. And Joseph illustrates this by his life. A final point that I want to consider this morning is this, that forgiveness triumphs over evil. Forgiveness triumphs over evil. Joseph's forgiveness of his brothers meant that there would be security and blessing for the nation of Israel. Satan would love to have had Joseph rebel against God, but Joseph's forgiveness of his brothers breathed life into Israel. The usual hand motions more often. But the application is evident. It's a picture of how Christ forgave us. Those Roman soldiers who nailed Jesus to that cross meant evil, but God meant it for good, to save, as Joseph said, many people alive. But where do you stand this morning with the Lord? Are you alive in Christ, or are you dead because you refuse to repent of your sin? What you're saying is, I don't want to have anything to do with God ever. But if you repent, you can enter into an intimate relationship with the Lord. If you're a believer here this morning, who do you need to forgive? Forgiveness triumphs over evil. You will never be free until you take the steps to say, in your heart, I forgive you. That doesn't mean that you're going to forget, but you're releasing it. God loves us deeply. God has demonstrated how deeply he loves us through the cross of Calvary when Jesus died there. And we're going to conclude this morning by singing, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast, beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. Pay attention to the words as we sing them together. And even during the singing of this song, you can bow your heart to the Lord and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you can do other business with the Lord.